Welcome to Zion's Saturday Call to Sunday Morning Worship, presented by 105-year-old Zion Lutheran Church of Silver Hill, Alabama, raising the call to worship the Lord Jesus Christ in Baldwin County. We are a church of the Association of Free Lutheran Congregations, which grew out of Norwegian Lutheran pietism more than a century ago. God's call to worship is simple and straightforward. Give unto the Lord the glory due His name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. That's Psalm 29, verse 2. You and I are not worthy to come into the presence of our Heavenly Father. Believers from the very early days of worship have confessed their sins, their inadequacies, and their decisions which have separated them from God. Lutherans share a public confession each Sunday morning. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess unto you that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against you by thought, word, and deed. Therefore, we come for refuge to your infinite mercy, seeking and imploring your grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. O most merciful God, who has given your only begotten Son to die for us, have mercy upon us, and for his sake grant us remission of all our sins, and by your Holy Spirit increase in us true knowledge of you and of your will, and true obedience to your word, that by your grace we may come to everlasting life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Well, God promised us to hear this kind of prayer. Psalm 145, verses 17 through 20 explains, "The Lord is righteous in all his ways, gracious in all his works. The Lord is near to all who call upon him, to all who call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of those who fear him. He also will hear their cry and save them. The Lord preserves all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy." When we worship together, we affirm the great doctrines and teachings of the historic church by reciting one of the creeds of the faith. The Apostles' Creed states, "I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated on the right hand of God the Father Almighty, from where he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, and the resurrection of the body and life everlasting. Amen." During the Saturday morning devotional series, we will be taking several moments to look at worship through the eye of the Bible. You and I worship in a variety of places, some very attractive and some not so attractive. What difference does it make? Is the place of worship dependent on dollars? For worship to take place, does lots of stained glass versus lots of audio-video equipment versus just plain hymnals and a piano in a place with a roof versus a tent or some other place affect the effectiveness of worship? The question we are looking at this week is tied to the place of worship. Does worship require honor for the place of worship? Herod's temple, the temple in which Jesus Christ worshipped during his life on earth, was built over many years, beginning before Jesus was born and not completed until after Jesus' death, resurrection, and ascension. It was a remarkable building with gold and white stone. It would have shone in the sun, so to speak. But the glorious temple by itself did not make for good worship. Here's what we learn in John 2, verses 13 through 17. John writes, "Now the Passover of the Jews was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem, and he found in the temple those who sold oxen and sheep and doves, and the money changers doing business. When he had made a whip of cords, he drove them all out of the temple with the sheep and the oxen, and poured out the changers' money and overturned the tables. And he said to those who sold doves, 'Take these things away. "Do not make my Father's house a house of merchandise." Then his disciples remembered that it was written, "Zeal for your house has eaten me up." You and I have been brought up in a culture that worships on Sunday once a week. We still typically pray before meals, may have family devotions and morning and evening prayers depending on our particular worship background. Even less observant people still hold some days as really special, where they believe they should show up in church. Think about Christmas and Easter as a couple of examples. In Jesus' day, people had specific worship activities each day of the week with specific prayers in their homes. There may have been activities at the local synagogue on a daily or weekly basis, but real worship was reserved for the temple in Jerusalem. Going back to the days of Moses, the Jewish people were called together on special days set aside by God himself, called high feast days. People would travel long distances to worship at the temple during these special worship festivals. Pentecost was one such high worship day, and the book of Acts tells us that people were in Jerusalem to worship from all over the civilized world of the time after Jesus' resurrection and ascension. John, in today's scripture, explains that the Passover of the Jews was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Jesus has come to the great temple in Jerusalem to worship, that is, to honor God and to praise and glorify him. But when Jesus gets into the temple, there are many things going on that do not honor God or aid in an attitude of worship of our Heavenly Father. John tells us, Jesus found in the temple those who sold oxen and sheep and doves and the money changers doing business. People were carrying on business where they were supposed to be carrying on worship. Why all these animals? It had to do with sacrifice, animal sacrifice. There were specific directions for honoring God with sacrifice. People were to bring animal sacrifices to the priests who would slay the animals, offer a portion of them, and return a portion for a fellowship or dinner meal, not all the time, but some of the time. The temple overseers wanted it to be easy for pilgrims coming to the temple, so they provided what was needed right inside the temple. People did not need to be inconvenienced by having to deal with animal care on the way to worship. Think of the situation like this. Worship required certain preparations. If people were unprepared, the staff of the temple still wanted people at worship, so they made it easy. Unfortunately, don't we in the church often seek a convenient way for casual worshipers to have what they need for worship so they will not be discouraged from attending? Sometimes we in the church put so much effort into our welcome folders and our overhead projectors and our fellowship snacks after the service that our preparations actually detract from worship. And that is the situation that Jesus was looking at, activities in the temple that discouraged the honor of God and his worship. So here's what the Lord Jesus did. Jesus messed up their business and chased them out of the worship center. And Jesus shouts, "Don't make my Father's house a house of attractive distractions." Did you get that? Jesus tells them, don't use worship as an excuse to market what is not worship. Get these things out of here. Well, people are watching. Priests are watching. Levites are watching. The officials of Herod are watching. The Romans, on some level, are aware of what's going on in that temple. Godly people, especially the disciples of Jesus, look at these events, and then they remember the scripture, Psalm 69, verse 9. Zeal for your house has eaten me up. And the reproaches of those who reproach you, God, have fallen on me. It is Passover. People have come to Jerusalem for worship. They go to the temple to worship. Instead of finding God, they find a stockyard. Jesus is so offended because God's house, the temple, has been reduced to a commercial market and not a place of worship. Remember the question we are looking at this week? Does worship require honor for the place of worship? Classic church, storefront church, theater church, tent church, the structure is not the issue. The issue is honor for God. If our place of worship is honoring non-worship activities rather than God the Father or His Son Jesus Christ or God the Holy Spirit, guess what? That is not worship, and that place displeases our Lord and is not a place of worship. Well, let's listen in on Zion congregation members talking about some of the elements of worship at Zion Lutheran Church.
To me, holiness concerning worship, we do worship the one and the only true God, and come here to fellowship with Him. We're reminded every Sunday that God is holy, and through our worship experience here, and through our prayer life, through our the liturgy, through our songs, and just fellowship with one another, it's a way that we're reminded over and over again the holiness of God.
Godliness is a word which is hard for me to quite grasp, since we know that we are not in any way qualified to be godly.
Okay, it means there has to be a change in us, huh?
Yeah, we got to be changed. Yeah. You mean in what church we worship? Or what
place?
Yeah, well, I think God can deal with you anywhere you worship Him. I think He can be anywhere, you know,
okay.
But it's better to have not a confused environment for me, because I get confused.
When does godliness or righteousness change our worship experience?
Godliness is a word which is hard for me to quite grasp, since we know that we are not in any way qualified to be godly. Yeah, we got to be changed. Yeah.
Okay, how does honor for God of where we worship?
You mean in what church we worship? Or
what place?
Yeah, well, I think God can deal with you anywhere you worship Him. I think He can be anywhere, you know.
Okay.
But it's better to have not a confused environment for me, because I get confused.
I think getting back to the pastor and the congregation, we believe that the Bible is the Word of God. It's inspired, and so we believe that anything that we do, the Bible, the Word of God, has rule. We will abide by it, and we do practice the Word of God there at Zion.
We are coming to the end of our time together. Let's share the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Well, please receive the Lord's benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you His peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, Zion Lutheran Church invites you to liturgical worship tomorrow at 10 a.m. We use the familiar classic common service, which has been a choice of a variety of Lutheran church bodies for the last century. Got more time? Come to Sunday school at 9 a.m. Want midweek Bible study? Join us at 7 p.m. on Wednesdays for an hour of study and a time of prayer. Are you a lady? How about considering our monthly women's Bible study at 10 a.m.? Call Zion Lutheran Church for details at 251-945-5209. And men, think breakfast before work. Complimentary breakfast. Our Men's 710 Breakfast and Speaker Fellowship meets at 7:10 a.m. on the second Tuesday of the month. Zion is located a block off State Highway 104 at 15875 4th Avenue at 7th Street in beautiful Silver Hill, just across the street from Silver Hill School. Zion Lutheran Church is a congregation of the AFLC, the Association of Free Lutheran Congregations, the fourth largest Lutheran denomination in America. Specific information about Zion Lutheran Church can be obtained at www.lutheransinsilverhill.com or by calling 251-945-5209. Goodbye, and God bless you until we meet again next Saturday at about 7:30 in the morning. Or how about tomorrow at 10 a.m.? We'll save a pew for you.